breaking news on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty. Stu Samter has no clue what this breaking news is. Or do you, Stu? Did you just find out the breaking news, Stu? Did you? All righty. Stu just like threw his hands down. I thought he knew. It's quarterback news, not Aaron Rodgers related. If you had to take a guess who the team is, and this is not me being a pain in the ass. This is not me being a jokester or a prankster. This is quarterback news that we have. Who's the team, Stu? If you had to take a guess.
Raiders.
Raiders related, but not the Raiders.
Are they picking in the top 10?
I'm not giving you any answers. Let's see if Samter could get it. Here comes the approach shot by Samter on 18. He is 75 yards out. He is needing to get a birdie here to stay within the lead at Augusta. Up, he's now walking over into the woods, and he's channeling his inner Jose Luis Ballester, and he is taking a number one in the woods. A despicable act. What a disgrace.
That doesn't sound right if we're talking about peeing and then you're making that noise.
That's a golf clap. You have a dirty mind. Oh, you're terrible. For all of those people listening on the radio, do not let your minds wander to where Zach just... Man. That was a golf clap.
Anyone got a magnifying glass?
I mean, accurate. Sadly, but accurate.
Do you have a guess on a team here?
I'm going to go...
Go with your heart, because I think your heart's right here.
The New Orleans Saints.
Bingo.
Are they bringing in Shador for a visit?
No, bigger than that.
Are they trading up for the number one pick?
No.
Yeah.
The Saints suddenly, according to Ian Rappaport, Rap Sheet, have a major quarterback question. Derek Carr is now dealing with a shoulder injury that threatens his availability for this season, sources say. Carr is weighing options, including the possibility of surgery. So hear me out here. We think this is likely, right? Cam Ward, first overall pick. Do I have a consensus here, an agreement?
Yes.
Then the second overall pick, the Cleveland Browns taking Travis Hunter. Are we in agreement so far on this one? Even though I think it should be Shador, I don't think it's going to be Shador.
Yes.
Okay. I'm like looking as if this is like on the plane and you're in the emergency exit row. I need a verbal yes confirmation, not just shaking the head since we're on the radio. Third overall pick, Abdul Carter to the New York Giants.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. Fourth overall pick, Will Campbell, alligator arms out of LSU. I become a big fan of those short arms to the New England Patriots, right?
Yes.
You would be a good miniature T-Rex probably playing with your daughter. Five, Mason Graham to the Jacksonville Jaguars, correct?
Absolutely.
Six, Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders.
Yes.
Sure, but I think it's a mistake.
I think it should be Shador as well, but I don't think they're going to take Shador either.
I think the Bears can go with Jeanty, but the Raiders have so many problems. I don't get it.
Seven, the New York Jets, Tyler Warren,
that makes
tight
sense.
End.
Yep.
Penn State. What happened to Penn State hockey last night, Samter? By the way,
you see this right here? Let's go, BU. Let's go, Terriers. Woohoo! Two goals in the second period held off Penn State's furious rally. BU in the national championship game, going for their first title since 2009, baby.
A double throw of the pen right there by Samter and elation. Is there a team in sport that Samter does not root for? So in hockey...
I went to BU.
So in college, you like BU and Arizona State, right?
So BU had no football team.
They're undefeated, at least.
Yeah. They had an intramural baseball team, and their basketball team was like in the America East. So when I went to Arizona, I adopted ASU because they had Power 5 football, Power 5 basketball, and their baseball team was one of the best in the country, and their softball team, too. So I can't root for BU football. There was none.
And then for football, you like the Chiefs and the Jets.
And the Cardinals, because I worked for them.
Oh, my God. It's like a third of the league already.
I got my NFC team and my AFC teams.
And you know what's funny?
I worked for the Cardinals. What am I supposed to do, not like them?
Until the Chiefs, he hasn't had a championship.
I had the Yankees.
Yeah,
That's true. Typical Yankee fan fashion.
Yeah,
tell us about all these championships that happened like years ago.
My parents were born and raised in the Bronx. My dad writes a magazine about the Bronx.
They were born and raised in the Bronx, okay?
My first job when I was 15 years old, 16 years old, was working at Yankee Stadium selling hot dogs and sodas down the aisle.
Peanuts, Cracker Jacks.
Yeah.
Peanuts, Cracker Jacks.
I wish I had.
Who needs a dog? Who needs a dog?
Never got peanuts and Cracker Jacks until later on in my tenure there.
So I remember you selling food in stadium. You had to sell hot dogs at a stadium?
Hot dogs and soda. Oh. The two worst things to sell.
That seems like an absolute bitch, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, and this was the time when the hot dogs came in the big bin, and you'd have to take the hot dog out of the water.
The dirty water.
Put it onto the bun.
With the fork.
Wrap it into the tinfoil and hand it off. It wasn't like the
dog. Did you
have
to ketchup and mustard for them?
Yeah, but they had to ask for it. You don't get it unless you ask for it.
So what was your hot dog and soda call?
So I only had hot dogs a couple times, but it was hot dogs, get your hot dogs. Here, get your hot dogs. And then soda was a little bit easier. Soda was the hardest thing. Because
Get your pop.
They didn't get you didn't have a strap for the tray to hold it.
Okay.
So you're holding this heavy-ass tray. At least with beer, people buy 2, 3, 4 beers, whatever. Mm. People buy one soda, and they barely even drink
it. $7.25.
So it's heavy as hell. No one's buying it. Ice cold soda here. Soda. Ice cold soda here.
I don't know.
On your head. It was terrible.
Now, I'm not a big soda guy.
Yeah.
But at a baseball game, I'm getting a beer.
Yeah.
I'm not getting a soda.
Yeah, but I mean, kids were getting soda.
Sure.
And there's some people don't drink, or maybe they had too many drinks. So,
you're the reason why America's obese, is because you're giving all those kids soda, pretty
much.
One. I think you got to go for hot dogs. Get your weenies here. Who wants a wiener? Come on. Who wants a wiener?
Yeah, I wasn't.
Give me a tip.
Enough to go with weenies. Just the tip?
Yeah. Just give me a tip. That was it. That's, you wanted a tip, right?
Sure.
Yeah, of course you did. It's extra money in your pocket.
I feel like you're trapping me into something on the air that you're going to clip and use later on.
No, that would require then Stu also playing it as well. So, there's a level of checks and balances here. But anyway, back to the big news since we got sidetracked. I don't even know how we got down that rabbit hole, but we did. Oh, well. The Saints now. Oh, wait. I was at 7 with Tyler Warren. That's where we were. And then we talked about Penn State BU hockey.
Man,
that's where we were.
It's last hour on a Friday. Our minds are allowed to wander.
Yeah. 8, Jalen Walker to the Panthers. We're in agreement?
Sure.
Then 9 are the Saints. The Saints should take Shador. Why not? You're shaking your head. No, why not?
After listening to Todd McShay yesterday, it makes so much sense for them to go with Jackson Dart.
Yeah, but Jackson Dart actually has to be good.
When you like a guy, when a guy fits your offense, you don't try to fit a round peg into a square hole.
Tot.
Kellen Moore likes big, strong, athletic, mobile guys with big arms. That is the exact opposite of what Shador Sanders is. Why build an offense the way you built your offense your entire life? You've had guys like Dak. You've had guys like Jalen Hurts. These are the guys that you've had around you. You can't just like...
Because you have to be
Shador
good.
Into it.
Jackson Dart, to me, is not first-round good. Shador Sanders is first-round good, and great coaches adapt to their talent. That's what I've learned. So I think now the Saints and the Steelers have become two fascinating teams in the draft. The Browns are fascinating because we don't think they're going to take a quarterback now, so they take Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. Then the Giants, will they take a quarterback or they take whoever remains between Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter? We think they're going to take Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. In the Shador race right now, it's a race to 9, because I think the Raiders will pass at 6, but the Raiders have some intrigue. I think 9's a possibility. And then also, I don't think he'll fall to 21, but if he starts to fall past 9, then you could have the Steelers maybe move on up in the draft. Or you could have the Browns and the Giants double dip and then move back in to the first round. Shador's got to go to either the Browns, the Giants, the Raiders, the Saints, or the Steelers. Doesn't he have to go to one of those 5 teams? I can't even think of another team out there that would potentially draft Shador Sanders.
Maybe the Jets.
But signing Justin Fields now?
Yeah, but Justin Fields, that's a contract you can get out of.
No, absolutely. But it's a 2-year deal. I think they're going to roll the dice here with Justin Fields for a little bit.
Sure, but if there's a quarterback you like, you're not banking yourself on
Justin
Fields.
So why not just take him at 7 then?
I mean, it's an option, but I think if Tyler Warren's there. But here's the way I'm looking at it, right? The Steelers, unless the Giants or someone else moves back up, they might not have to move up from 21. If Shador drops past 9. Now you have the Bears. They're not drafting a quarterback. Mm-hmm. The 49ers, not drafting a quarterback. The Cowboys, not drafting a quarterback. The Dolphins, most likely not drafting a quarterback. The Colts, I guess, is possible.
I don't think they will, though, because of the fact that you brought in Richardson. You have Richardson. You just used a fourth overall pick on him 2 years ago, and you brought in Daniel Jones. Once again, I understand what you're saying.
Right.
I would use the pick there on Shador. I don't think they will, though.
Correct. So most likely not there at 14. 15, Falcons.
Oh, hold on. The Falcons?
Yeah.
Who knows after last year? Maybe they do.
And then they'll trade Kirk Cousins and Penix, or keep them both on the third string. 16,
by the way,
the
that
Cardinals.
Was a joke. If you can't tell that was a joke, please turn off the radio right now. That was not serious. Do not tweet me later saying, oh my God, Zach's the biggest idiot, moron, dope in America because he thinks the Falcons are going to take Shador Sanders. I don't actually believe the Falcons are going to take Shador Sanders.
That's hogwash.
You can continue.
That's hogwash.
16, blasphemous.
16 is the Cardinals. They're not drafting a quarterback. The Bengals at 17, not drafting a quarterback. The Seahawks just signed Sam Darnold, not drafting a quarterback. Mm-hmm. The Buccaneers love Baker Mayfield, not drafting a quarterback. The Broncos at 20 have Bo Nix, not drafting a quarterback. If Shador doesn't go in the top 9, I think he's fallen to 21 to the Steelers unless someone moves back up into the first round.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I was letting you know, get out your smart analysis there and saying how if he gets past 9, he gets the 21.
Smart, this is the first time ever I've heard smart and Santa.
It's a Friday. I'm in a giving mood.
Wow.
I'm giving out compliments. Wow. Stu, you look wonderful. Santa, you look smart. Oh, well, Stu, the Devil's jersey. I don't know how wonderful you could look in a Devil's jersey, but considering what you're wearing, Stu, you look wonderful, right? And what are you wearing? That's a
BU, baby.
Oh, I thought you were in a Russia hockey jersey.
No, it's a BU jersey signed by Bobby Orr right here. If you see that, that's Bobby Orr.
Did you meet Bobby Orr?
Yeah, he was at a BU hockey game. Mm-hmm. I was wearing my jersey, maybe a few sauced up drinks through.
Okay.
And Bobby Orr signed my jersey.
Were you in college then?
Oh, yeah.
So you were, that jersey's from college?
This is from 1999, 2000.
I was going to say 1939, maybe.
Ouch. Ouch.
Wow. So that's an old... Wait, can you just move to the left or the right? Well, the other way. Sorry. My left. More. Yeah, that does look like an old jersey. No, I could see the signature on Bobby Orr, but for that, you said you got that jersey in 99? That's holding up pretty well, Santa.
Yeah, I mean, I would
think, because like, it's a white jersey, you think it'd be like yellowy right now. It'd be like archaic.
If you came close, there's a lot of like random stains all over it.
I could see Santa in college with the beer hat on, with like two cervezas, one out of the left, one out of the right ear, and you walked around with like the beer hat on. That's what I could see you, especially at a college.
I enjoyed my time in college. I'll just say that.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's good to know, especially in, actually going out when you were in that age. I don't know if it was the same back then in Boston.
It was impossible.
Terrible.
It was impossible.
You have to go so early to the bars.
Yep.
It's freezing.
Yep.
You got to stand outside in like 2 degrees, and then the bars close so early there.
And also, if you're under 21, they were so strict. Like in New York City, you can walk out. When I was like 16, 17, we go to the bars. No one ever cared. In Boston, they were checking IDs at the door.
I will not condone those actions, just to be clear.
Well, I'm just saying. They would check IDs at the doors. They would even have like a little thing that they would swipe the ID to make sure that you were 21. So the only way really to party was like fraternities and house parties.
Yeah, well, but getting back to this conversation, as this has just been a sidetracked final hour of the show, one of those five teams, Browns, Giants probably trading back up, the Saints, the Raiders maybe trading back up because I don't think it's going to be six, or the Steelers, one of them have to get Shador. If not, I can't even think of another team that would take him. And it's not because like, oh, he's not good. It's because I don't know if those teams have a need at the quarterback position and they don't have someone there that they're going to continue to rock and roll with. By the way, do you guys ever have a fake ID? Just wondering. Stu, did you ever have a fake ID?
Did not.
Sam, do you have a fake ID?
Somebody who I know who might or might not have been a friend of mine may have made fake IDs in high school.
For you, it's clearly past the statute of limitations by now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So a friend of mine used to make fake IDs. Yes. And then my brother, who looks just like me, just gave me his ID. And he's like 4 years older than I am, so that worked.
Our friends and I, we got fake IDs. It came in a teddy bear. And the teddy bear, it was a box in a teddy bear. And the teddy bear showed up and we're like, oh, we got scammed. And then one of my friends said, what happens if the IDs are in the teddy bear? It's like in Zoolander. The information is in the computer. And he smashes the computer thinking the information will pop out. Yeah, we had to open up the teddy bear, and all the fake IDs were in the teddy bear.
How many people do you think ordered these, not realizing that they had to open up the teddy bear and just threw it out?
Yeah. I wasn't smart enough to realize they were in the teddy bears, but I guess my friends were smart enough to realize that. So we had to slice open carefully the teddy bear. We did
a little surgery.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the teddy bear didn't make it. So rest in peace to the teddy bear. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So Derek Carr, that's the big news. He may miss the entirety of the season. So the Saints suddenly have a major quarterback question, according to Ian Rappaport. Starter Derek Carr is now dealing with a shoulder injury that threatens his availability for this season, sources say. Carr is weighing options, including the possibility of surgery. So not good news there on Derek Carr. And seems like that's going to be it for his tenure with the New Orleans Saints. All righty, we will take a timeout. We will come on back. When we do return, we'll do a little onside, offside, because we got sidetracked here with Samter's love for BU hockey and 4,000 other teams, fake ID talk, some breaking news we had, oh yeah, about Derek Carr.
And Penn State hockey.
Penn State hockey and Stu's ugly Devils jersey. So that's a lot to just process in the last 15 minutes. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Onside, offside. Next!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
Alrighty, onside, offside time. Stu, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So, there's a job that's open here at the Infinity Sports Network. Most people are thinking I'm going to talk about the overnight job. That's not what I was talking about.
Different
there's multiple
job. Jobs
here. But there's a producer job open. D-Cell, Tom D. Celestino. I always call him D-Cell. His last name's too difficult to pronounce. It was his last day today, so congratulations to him. He's the executive producer of the Writer Than You.
The Writer Than You was. Radio program.
Yeah, well, he's still technically by the end of the day, you know. But anyway, he was, is, were, maybe, you know, who knows. He was the, he was the executive producer for Writer Than You. So that job, I guess, has been posted already, that the job is open. Now, I've had three people. I can't even remember the last time I talked to these people that have reached out to me to say, hey, can you put in a good word for me? I'm going for the job. Onside or offside, if you don't keep in contact with someone, it's fair game to reach out to that person for you to advocate or for them to get your endorsement maybe for a job. What do you think, Stu?
Offside.
You wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't, no. Not if it's not someone that you talk to, like, at least once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's someone that's, like, once a month, once every 2 months. Yeah, nah, I would feel uncomfortable doing that.
Samter, your thoughts?
I don't care if you don't talk to the guy for 5 years. If the person knows that you're a good producer, worker, whatever, and they're a good reference, yeah, like, hit up whoever. That's what, I mean, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And oftentimes, just networking is the key. So, yeah, I'm all for it. If this guy that hit you up, you know, is a good producer and he'd be a good fit for the role, whether you've talked to him
Here's the problem. I don't really, the three people that reached out to me, I don't really know much about them professionally.
Oh, well, then never mind.
Like, I've had others that have reached out to me that I would advocate for because I keep in contact with them. I know I've worked with them. But three people reach out to me. I don't even remember the last time I talked to them. And they're like, hey, can you go to your boss and put in a good word? Or can you call Bill and put in a good word for me? I'm like, what good word would I be putting in for you? I've never worked with you. I have no clue what you're about.
He's great at chugging beers.
It's amazing how many people, and I get it, people need to find work. So, like, I have sympathy for that. But it's amazing, like, how many people will reach out to you to do them a favor. And it's like, I don't even, like, do I have some pull? Yes. Do I have as much pull as you think? No. And then also, if I don't know what to sell you on, I can't really sell you. So that's where we're starting that one off. All righty, Stu, let's get to the sheet.
All right, so the Browns were expected to take Shedeur Sanders with the number 2 pick in the draft. But the closer we get to the draft, the less likely it seems that they'll go quarterback with their pick. First, they traded for Kenny Pickett. Then rumors swirled about their love for Travis Hunter. And now the team brought veteran Joe Flacco back, who led them to the playoffs in 2023. Onsides, offsides, Kenny Pickett will be the Browns' week one starter.
No. I'm going offside there. I think it's going to be Joe Flacco.
Offside.
All right. So after TJ Watt's cryptic post.
Did you say that was it?
That was quick. No, offside. I think it will be Joe Flacco.
There's not that much commentary that I got. They brought in Joe Flacco because Joe Flacco's better than Kenny Pickett. I don't think they're drafting Shador Sanders with the second overall pick. Even if they trade back up to get Shador Sanders, I don't think he'll be the week one starter. I think it's going to be Joe Flacco. Would I have to sit here and talk about
him for 45 minutes? I mean, Kenny Pickett was a first-round pick 2 years ago. Maybe they're bringing in Joe Flacco to mentor Kenny Pickett because they think he has a chance of being a starter in the NFL. 2 years ago, he was the only first-round quarterback.
All right, Chris in California. Let's keep it moving. What do we got here?
After TJ Watt's cryptic post flashing the peace
Santa's
outside.
Santa's like Humpty Dumpty right now. He just almost fell out of that chair.
After TJ Watt's cryptic post that flashed a peace out sign, people are now starting to think that the Steelers and Watt may be headed towards a divorce.
By the way, do you say peace out or chuck up the deuces?
I say peace out.
I would say chuck up the deuces, even though I end the show every day. All right, we'll talk to you on Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace. I would say if you're leaving, you're chucking up the deuces. But I could be a douche when I say that, too, I'll also admit. All right, continue. Sorry, Stu. I'm being impolite here. I'm being rude.
So now Vegas put their odds for a trade destination for Watt. And, Zach, you'll be thrilled to know that your Pats, they lead the way at 3-1.
Really?
Followed by the Seahawks at 4-1, the Eagles at 5-1, and then the Cardinals at 6-1. Onsides, offsides, the Patriots should trade for Watt, even if it means giving up the fourth overall pick.
Now let me ask you a question. Would I not be getting Travis Hunter at 4?
I think he's gone by then. He's going to Cleveland.
Would I not be getting Abdul Carter at 4?
He is gone as well.
Then absolutely. If I could get one of those players, I'm not doing this. Fourth overall pick for TJ Watt. TJ, come to New England. And it would annoy the Steeler fan, which I'm good about. Because the Steeler fan, let me remind you who your father is. It's the New England Patriots. They owned you for 20 years. Every big game, we beat the snot out of you. We embarrassed you. All right, Belichick, Brady own you. So now, this new era of the New England Patriots, I'd be more than fine from taking your best player. But for the best interest of TJ Watt, get out of Pittsburgh and go to an actual Super Bowl contender. And I could be objective here. It's the hot take of the day. The Patriots are not a Super Bowl contender right now. But would I give up the fourth overall pick for TJ Watt? Sure. Why not? If I'm not getting Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, yeah, I'm in. So I would go on sides.
So Abdul Carter is all but assured to go into top four and could go as high
Psych
as two.
Psych Manther says, take Watt and pass on T-Rex. He's talking about Will Campbell. I kind of hope we get Will Campbell on before the draft. Because in the way that I ask questions and also give my opinions in interviews, I think I could get him to just unload on this topic. Because I would be like, all right, I think the commentary about the short arms is stupid. And I think if I say that to him, it would really set him off.
He's already kind of unloaded on it.
I know, but you know how the news cycle works. You could say one thing a month ago, no one remembers it, and a month later, we parachute in and we take the news and we make out our own news. That's what happens. Come on, let's be real. There's been times at this network where there's been these car wash tours, and you'll get a guest on, they'll say, it's like the same thing, and for some reason, whatever it is, it always goes viral when it's on with us. So, you know, we have that ability. We have that ability somehow, some way. All right. Sorry, Stu. Continue.
So, Abdul Carter.
How many times are you going to say sorry, Stu, in this segment? I think I'm betting the over.
Sorry, Stu.
Who was the Jonte Porter on the Raptors, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling a little under the weather. I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah. So sorry, Stu. You know, I have some money on the line to say sorry, Stu, about 13,000 times in this segment. Sorry, Stu. Go ahead.
So, Abdul Carter could go as high as 2 in the draft. However, Penn State star did not work out at all this offseason after doctors found a stress reaction in his foot. New reports, however, gave him some good news as his foot is healing on its own and he likely will not require surgery. And we also remember Carter hurting his shoulder, of course, during the college football playoffs. Onsides, offsides, Carter's multiple recent injuries are a concern.
When you mean concern and you're like, oh my goodness gracious, I would pass on him, right?
Yes.
Because I could obviously just, you know, take the easy way. I'll be like, yeah, it's a little bit concerning, but that's not the intent of the way that you're asking it. I do not think it's a major concern where I would take this guy off my draft board. I think he's the best player in the draft, period. So Carter's multiple recent injuries are concerning. I'm going offside.
Offside.
So Jonathan Allen bolted from Washington after 8 seasons to join the Vikings and has already seen a dramatic difference. In a conversation on Chris Long's Green Light podcast, Allen decided to trash the Commanders facilities.
Getting to see Minnesota, I mean, that's some state-of-the-art right there. And were you blown away when you went and visited?
I was. I mean, the one thing we're always told in college is once you get to the NFL, the facilities aren't nice. Just everything's not as nice. Like, as far as just how much money is being spent on the players, college, one of the top programs is usually the best. But man, when I came here and I seen they have kombucha and they just had all the drinks in the fridge and the facilities, I was just like, wow, kombucha. Like, I feel like I've been cheated my last 8 years. I'm like, these guys over here living like this is incredible.
So if you remember, the Commanders received a grade of F by the players for their facilities, while the Vikings got an A+. Onsides, offsides, the Commanders' facilities will hurt their chances of signing star players and building a title team around Jaden Daniels.
Before I answer your question, Samter, I have a question for you.
Okay.
You've been to a lot of Super Bowl locations.
Yeah.
What was the worst Super Bowl host city in your opinion?
New York was tough. Just because the way everything was and the fact that it was at MetLife and just getting from the city to Jersey was a mess. Pain. Mess.
I think there's an obvious answer here.
I mean, Detroit was also tough just because it was like cold and just nasty. What do you think?
You're getting warmer even though you're talking about it being cold.
So the Minnesota Radio Row was terrible.
It was because in the Mall of America.
Yes. Man. The location was terrible, but I actually enjoyed that Super Bowl because I thought there was a lot of fun stuff going on.
You know why? Because Samter's like a little kid. That's what I realized going away with him. He doesn't have a great attention span either. You throw him in one of these rooms and he's like all over the place. And they had that amusement park, obviously, in the Mall of America. I could see yourself having a lot of fun there.
Dude, I was on the roller coaster with Tiki and BT. We were like going up. Yeah, it was awesome. I had the best time.
For us grown adults, even though you're much older than me, I hated the Minnesota Super Bowl.
The Radio Row was bad. You're right.
And that was a great moment for my career because I was doing post-game for the Eagles. And I was also talking to Eric Spitz here to get a job. And that's how I started here at the time at CBS Sports Radio. I was doing a little moving and grooving down there at that Super Bowl, even though I was there on two different companies' dimes and I was getting another job. So that's the negotiations. But I remember two things from that Super Bowl. I was at the Dicka and Jaws cigar party. And right, they had a little outdoor heated tent. My Guinness froze. It was that cold. Froze. And then also, you're there for a whole week. So, like, there's only so many things that you could do that you eat, like, the food that's reflective of the city until you just want something normal. So it must have been the Thursday or Friday after being there for the entire week. I'm like, I just want some pizza. And I sat down at a restaurant. I ordered pizza. And it's the only time in my life that I vividly remember sending back the food and saying, I got to order something else. I took one bite. It was the worst pizza. It was undercooked. It was the worst pizza I've ever had. So it's funny to me that when you talk about Minnesota, and the people in Minnesota are great, right? Like the Vikings fans are awesome and everything. Wild fans are great. I love that dude back in the day when KG was there and they didn't want to get traded and he ripped off his shirt and it was like, keep KG. And then the cops escorted him out. And when KG came back all those years later, he did that same kind of skit all over again. So there's great people in Minnesota, but it makes sense that their facilities are awesome because, like, if you're an NFL player, you're freezing your ass off all the time. The facilities better be good, warm, and comfy. But anyway, Stu, the question you asked me here is the Commanders' facilities will hurt their chances of signing star players and building a title team around Jaden Daniels. I think the facilities will get better under Josh Harris. That's number one. Number two, you're in a winning situation right now as long as Jaden Daniels continues to be Jaden Daniels. So I think money is money, and you'll get over the facility. So I'll go offsides here.
Offside!
So John Morant won't quit. After a slap on the wrist for his repeated gun gestures, the controversial Grizzly star switched up his celebration but stuck with the weapon theme. Now after big plays, John mimics throwing a grenade into the crowd and doesn't plan to stop, saying, quote, "That's my celebration now until somebody else has a problem with it, and I'll find another one," end of quote. Onside, offside, do you have a problem with Ja's new celebration?
Yeah, because he doesn't get it, right? Like, you've been suspended, you've been fined. Any other player does this, it's not a big deal, but it's a big deal because of the stupidity that you've done in the past. So just stop. Grow up and be an adult and be a professional. So with just him doing it, yes, I do have a problem with it. So I go on sides on this one.
So Giannis and the Bucks are getting hot at the right time, winning their last six games, moving up to the 5 seed and likely facing the number 4 Pacers in the first round. Giannis is red hot, averaging over 31 points over his last 9, including 4 triple doubles. If they beat Indiana, they will likely face the number 1 seeded Cavs in the second round. Onside, offside, you can see the Bucks making the Eastern Conference Finals.
I would love to say yes, but also with Doc Rivers being their coach too, and Doc, he has faded a lot as a coach, and the Bucks have been a problem in the postseason, not a good way since they won a championship a few years back. I just can't get on board since you've won your last 6 games in a row. I need to see more before I could say that they're going to be in the Eastern Conference final. So I will go offside.
Offside.
All right, last one here. We've seen a lot of weird things at the Masters over the years, but maybe none as strange as what amateur Jose Luis Ballester did yesterday. On the 13th hole, the 21-year-old Arizona State Sun Devil disappeared briefly, but was spotted by fans urinating into Rays Creek. After the round, Ballester admitted to his crime, but didn't seem too concerned.
I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go, and since JT had an issue around the green, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sneak here in the river. Probably the people would not see me that much, and then they clap for me. Probably one of the clubs that I really got today, like real loud, so that was kind of funny.
Are you concerned that there might be any blowback from that at all? Or I mean, obviously, they did see you, right?
Yeah, they saw me, Yeah. I mean, it was not embarrassing at all for me, so if I had to do it again, I would do it again.
So onside, offsides, Ballester should be punished for his actions.
No. The guy did what every guy does when they're on a golf course. I get it. It's the Masters. Oh, it's tradition. Oh, you're in a public setting. He went off and went to the bathroom. All right? Most people, when they play golf, if you're on like the 13th hole, let's just say, and you got to go to the potty, and let's say it's not number 2, it's a number 1, you go right into the woods. So this guy went into the creek. Come on. It's not a big deal to me. So he should be punished for these actions offside.
Offside.
Alrighty, we will take a timeout when we come on back. Stu's going to give me some prospects in the draft, and I'll tell you where their best fit is. But first up with the latest sports flash, here is Rich Ackerman. Alrighty, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Jake in Georgia says, Zach, after a day and a half of the Masters, who do you think is going to win? You could submit a question by tweeting at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I was thinking about taking Rory McIlroy because Hickey just tweeted out, I refuse to ride the Rory roller coaster. Would love to see him finally get the green jacket, but I can't do the highs and lows of his rounds. I'm not built for it. I won't believe he could win at the Masters until he actually does. So there's a very, 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 very good chance Rory McIlroy now wins because Hickey's saying he's not going to win pretty much. I'm going to go with Bryson DeChambeau. Now, he's won 2 major championships, hasn't won at Augusta. He had a really good round today, going 4-under, was 3-under. The first day of the tournament, so 7-under so far for the tourney with a 69 and a 68. I'm going to say Bryson DeChambeau wins, and I think it would be the best thing for golf, even though Rory would get the career Grand Slam, because I think still people are 50-50 on Bryson. I've come around on Bryson. I'm a big fan of Bryson, and I like what he brings to the game of golf, showcasing his personality now, which he's improved leaps and bounds on that. So I'll take Bryson DeChambeau to win the Masters. All righty, Stu, do we got a little NFL music here? Stu's going to give me the name of the player for the draft, and I'm going to say not where he's going to go, but where I think the most realistic best fit is for this player.
All right, let's start with Shedeur Sanders.
Steelers. You get the respect of Tomlin. Arthur Smith is a fine offensive mind, and you have DK Metcalf and George Pickens to throw the football to. I would say Shedeur Sanders to the Steelers would be a good fit.
All right. What about the two-way sensation, Travis Hunter?
I think he's going to go to Cleveland, but I would say the best fit is actually the New York Giants. The Giants need a star. Like, they lost Saquon. Sure, Malik Nabers was unbelievable his first year, but if you get the two-way stardom with the athleticism of Travis Hunter, I think that could play very well, especially in the New York market.
What about Penn State's Abdul Carter?
I would say the Browns. You pair them up 1-2, Miles Garrett on one side. You have then Abdul Carter on the other side. Now, we still don't know who your running back's going to be. We don't know who your quarterback's going to be. It could be Joe Flacco. At least you'll be able to put a lot of hits on the quarterback, and you could have two double-digit sack guys on that defense. I would say Abdul Carter to the, here we go, Brownies, here we go.
What about the expected number one pick, Cam Ward?
The Tennessee Titans. They need a face of their franchise. Cam Ward would be the face of that franchise. And it would be their first franchise quarterback since Steve McNair? Because Vince Young didn't last long in the league. I wouldn't say Ryan Tannehill was ever perceived to be a franchise quarterback. Didn't they draft Jake Locker, too? That didn't work.
Oh, yeah. That was not good.
They've had a lot of bad... I don't think they've had a franchise quarterback since Steve McNair. If we look at the Tennessee Titans. So, yeah. They need a face of the franchise, and that would be Cam Ward.
What about T-Rex arms, Will Campbell?
The Patriots. Patriots need an offensive lineman. The tackle position for New England has been egregious the last few years, so Will Campbell going to the Patriots at 4 would make a ton of sense.
All right, what about the near Heisman winner, Ashton Jeanty?
I'm going to say your Raiders, Stu. The Raiders need some oomph on the offensive side of the ball. Now, Geno Smith's a fine quarterback. He's not the guy that provides that oomph. You do got Brock Bowers, but if the quarterback is limited, you know, Brock Bowers still have a ton of success, but I think they need a face of that offense. And Pete Carroll, right, even though Russell Wilson was really good for that team, he thought of Marshawn Lynch first on the offensive side of the ball. I think that Ashton Jeanty could be the Marshawn Lynch of Pete Carroll's offense with the Raiders.
What about Penn State's Tyler Warren?
I would say the Jets. The Jets, they need another piece. Like, all right, Justin Fields is a major question mark, but you got a very good running back in Breece Hall. You got a very good wide receiver in Wilson, in Garrett Wilson. I think you need another piece on that offense. I would look at Tyler Warren, who is just a tremendous tight end.
Sticking in the Big Ten, what about Michigan's Mason Graham?
I would think the Jaguars. You got two good ends in Josh Hines Allen, who I like a lot. And then Trayvon Walker is starting to find his way, but I got to see more. Beef up the interior of that line. I love what Mason Graham did. What he did up against Ohio State this year was absolutely phenomenal. So I would go with the Jaguars there for Mason Graham.
How about another defender, Jaylen Walker?
Now, Burns is no longer with the Panthers. He got traded to the Giants. Yeah, I think you need another defensive player. I know Derek Brown's their big interior defensive lineman, even though he got banged up. I think you need another big defensive piece there in Carolina. I would go Jaylen Walker with the Carolina Panthers.
All right, and last but not least, we have the wide receiver out of Arizona, Tetero McMillan.
I think the Cowboys need a little more flavor on their offense. Like, Dak Prescott has been an injury problem, but he'll be their starting quarterback. Running back situation, very short in terms of guys that you could count on, because there's not a guy that you could count on. Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders, Deuce Vaughn, like, none of those guys jump off the page to you. You got CeeDee Lamb, but you need another wide receiver. They're going to be chucking the ball a lot in Dallas this year. So I would say the Dallas Cowboys for Tetero McMillan. How do you say his first name? I can never get that right.
I think it's Tetaroa.
Tetaroa?
Yeah.
Tetaroa McMillan.
T-Mac.
Yeah, T-Mac. You know, not Tracy McGrady, but Tetaroa McMillan, however you say his name. That's the one name that I just cannot get right. But I would say him with the Dallas Cowboys. By the way, Tennessee Titans quarterbacks since Steve McNair, Vince Young, Kerry Collins, Rusty Smith, just guys that have started games, Matt Hasselbeck, Jake Locker, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Zach Mettenberger, Charlie Whitehurst, Marcus Mariota, Matt Cassel, Blaine Gabbert, Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis, Joshua Dobbs, Will Levis, Mason Rudolph. Just guys that have started games for the Tennessee Titans since Steve McNair. And you know what? Nationally, we do not talk about Tennessee being a quarterback disaster as much as we do with other teams. Yes, Stu.
I guess Tannehill's the best one, right? I mean,
yeah.
that's not saying a whole lot, but he probably is the best one of that bunch.
Yeah, because Mariota was a bust. Vince Young was a bust. Locker was a bust. Yeah. They need a face of their franchise. And the face of their franchise, even when they were good, was Derrick Henry, obviously. And that was a running back. So they need Cam Ward. They got to take Cam Ward with the first overall pick. Because even though I like when Will Levis comes on the show, Mayo Boy ain't cutting it as a pro NFL quarterback. And if he does, and if he does have to start for them this year, I don't think Callahan, their coach, is going to be able to survive the season. I thought he was going to pop this year. Oh, that guy was like a volcano. He was just ready to erupt anytime Will Levis decided to channel his inner Carson Wentz without the one MVP type of season and was just tossing the ball to the wrong team over and over again in just stupid fashion. All right, that will do it for another week of the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll be back on Monday, God willing, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Big thanks to Gino Toretta for joining the show today. Big thanks to Stuart Kovacs, Michael Samter, Rich Ackerman, each and every one of you for calling, for listening, for tweeting, for interacting on our YouTube chat, however you may consume us, across all our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube. If you want to watch the Knicks game tonight, you will see me right behind the Knicks bench. Now, I'm not wearing a big red sweatshirt like last time. I'm just wearing a black t-shirt. So I may blend in a little bit more, but Cavaliers and Knicks, 7:30 p.m. Eastern from the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Be back on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.